System Parallax, written by Cephalogod and read by K-Burb. This is a Batman Murderbot crossover fic, rated teen and up audiences, in which no archive warnings apply. It features the relationships between Cass and Babs, Steph and Tim, and Steph and Cass and him. There had been an SOS signal buried in the feed when she had sorted through all the layers. That wasn't strange. Space was large and uncaring, the corporations even more so, and there were a lot of ways for ships and stations and planetside colonies to fall, and pretty much all of them would send out some kind of signal, if only so whoever owned it could come collect the scraps. That was the part that was odd, though. She'd heard a lot of SOS messages, and they pretty much always had some kind of tag directing them to the company responsible. That way, they didn't just get lost in all the endless chatter. This one didn't. She had pulled it out and turned it over and over in her own feed, picking it apart down to the tiniest bit of data, but no. Just a general all-channels SOS broadcast for whoever might find it buried under all the other data that went in and out every hour of every day. She wasn't sure what that meant. A malfunction, maybe. Maybe trying to avoid the corporation it was meant for, but without that tag, it was more likely no one would see it, never mind anyone who could actually help. Which was how she found herself slipping out of her hiding place on a tiny transport vehicle and into the dark, echoing corridors of Noma Thom. It certainly seemed like a place that would be sending out an SOS. A quick scan of the feed returned an absolute flood of error messages from the various station systems. None of them critical, yet, but plenty of them concerning, at least for humans. She would be fine, but she could imagine that living here would be uncomfortable for them. And there were people living here, it looked like. Not many, certainly less than the capacity it was built for, but there was activity in the feed and logs on supplies and energy use. And when she poked around enough to find the very few cameras functioning on the station, she could see them moving around, living their lives. While an active SOS beacon went out, that was probably not good. Before she could figure out her next step, she had a vague idea of stop SOS and save station, but that wasn't really a plan. Something new pinged in her feed. Very loud and insistently, bypassing all the filters and firewalls she had built up.
Who are you?
It demanded. She opted to stay quiet, but whatever this was, it was apparently very targeted and it kept going.
Why are you here? Beacon?
She sent back. She tried to poke around the edges of the transmission and see if she could pick up any other information, but it was well guarded.
What about the beacon?
She considered how to answer that.
Help,
she finally sent back. There was a long pause, and when the transmission continued, it seemed softened slightly, less like it was drilling directly into her head.
You're a SEC unit.
She didn't bother answering that one. Whoever was behind the transmission had probably pulled the info from her feed, and it was close enough.
Whose orders are you following? None,
she threw back instantly, angrily. Another pause, this one even longer. Maybe the transmission source was scanning her, trying to figure her out. Was it a human behind it? It seemed too fluent in the feed, even for an augmented human, but it also didn't seem like a bot.
You said you're here to help. There are others here, too, but it's an evolving situation. If I send you a location, you will render assistance? Yes.
She wasn't sure what this assistance would look like, but if someone else was already here and already had a plan, less work for her.
Okay, I'll send you the location.
a ping in her feed, another beacon, but quieter and more localized.
You can call me Oracle. What do I call you?
Definitely human, then. Machines didn't need names, not really. She didn't have a good answer for that.
I am a custom artificial security asset. Okay, how about Cass, then?
When she didn't object, Oracle continued.
Welcome to the team, Cass.
Not that I'm complaining, Steph said as she swapped out a full data card for a fresh one, in the tone of someone who was definitely not complaining. But sometimes it would be nice if they would at least try and hide all the evidence of their blatant disregard for human rights.
Are you saying you'd like to spend more time scraping through metadata? Tim asked.
He sounded distracted, which was fair enough considering he was deep in the feed parsing through everything to find the bits that were most useful and shunt them over to Steph's handheld system for download and analysis.
Well, no. But it would be nice if they'd at least pretend to be worried about getting caught for shit.
Steph tucked the full data card safely away in a sealed interior pocket, double-checking it was secure. Using physical data chips to extract everything always made her a little nervous. Logically, it wasn't actually that different. If they ripped a bunch of data out of the feed, it still got stored on physical hardware that could break or be lost. But it felt different when that hardware was crammed into her pocket with no real backup. Worse, she couldn't even complain about it, because Tim would, correctly but unhelpfully, point out that the whole reason they were here was because they couldn't just do a feed rip with how spotty and unreliable communication was between all the systems.
Presumably, they figured no one would care about this place enough to come out here and investigate, Tim said.
They shouldn't have crashed that shuttle into their own mining asteroid then, Steph said in a tone of mock disappointment, shaking her head.
Well, among other things, Tim said with a smirk.
It wasn't entirely any one thing that had brought them to Noma Thom. It was more a series of small events, all tied to the same parent corporation. All signs of a company that was headed into freefall and willing to sacrifice everything and everyone along the way in an effort to stop it. So, not who you wanted in charge of things, like a station with living human residents, for example.
Alco Morrow had already been under heavy surveillance before Oracle had found the SOS signal, at which point it jumped the team's never-ending, ever-growing queue from mildly urgent to extremely important. Not much on the list was ever not some level of urgent, thus the extra adjectives. Staff's suggestions of color coding and Damien's offer of the temperature of various types of stars had both been greeted with a heavy sigh, which meant no. The goal for this trip was, in theory, mostly reconnaissance. The station wasn't actively falling out of orbit or anything, so the hope was to send a team there, dig into their data structures a bit, and try to find exactly what kind of help the place needed to stay habitable, and with any luck, some useful or outright incriminating evidence on the company that could be used for leverage against them. So far, it had been going fairly smoothly on both fronts, aside from how shockingly blatant the company's activities had been, and just how many red alerts there were on critical station systems. Which of course meant they were both getting progressively more on edge the longer they sat in a sad little abandoned maintenance corridor, downloading reams of data. It was almost a relief when the shouts and gunfire started.
The situation has gotten slightly more urgent,
Oracle abruptly said into her feed. She had noticed the target beacon shifting slightly, which probably meant a person rather than a location.
Trouble?
She asked, picking up her pace to a proper run. There were some service tubes that might be useful. Smaller, couldn't move quite as fast, but very unlikely anything human would know they were there, much less be using them.
Looks like Alcomaro realized this place is a liability and decided to cover their tracks by getting rid of the evidence. Think you can make sure that doesn't happen? Yes. Great. My people are supposed to be evacuating right now, but interfering in other people's business is kind of what we do, so I wouldn't be surprised if they ignore my instructions and turn up anyway. I'm sending you their personnel files. Please refrain from shooting them.
The files popped into her feed with images for identification, one blonde human female and one significantly augmented human male. The rest of the information was heavily redacted, including names and affiliations. She set the task of cracking the encryption running in the background for the moment. It wasn't that important. In the foreground, she started scraping as much of the station surveillance as she could get her digital hands on, looking for data on what was happening around the target beacon location. Frustratingly, there wasn't all that much, what with all the systems that were in some state of disrepair. All the feed access in the world didn't make up for dead cameras and offline sensors.
I count at least 5,
Oracle said.
More,
she corrected on reflex. At least 6 that she counted so far, but with such poor coverage, she did not want to commit to that number.
Right. Okay. No backseat driving. Got it. Just watch out for my people. And maybe try not to blow up the whole station or draw what little security there still is.
There was a wry sort of tone to Oracle's digital voice now, as much as tone carried in the feed. It made her curious all over again who this person was, if they were human or not. She tapped the feed in acknowledgement, but didn't bother answering otherwise. She was busy planning. I guess Alcomaro had the same idea we did, Seth said as she armed a flashbang and tossed it behind her, quickly covering her ears and closing her eyes as it went off. From the pain shout, at least one of their new friends hadn't bothered with anything as sensible as a full-face helmet. Learning experience for him, if he got out of this with his face intact. Sure looks that way, Tam agreed absently as he released an unusually chunky surveillance drone to help cover them. So much for recon only. She took a hard left, yanking Tim with her as he focused half his attention on the drone. It's never recon only, which is why they had flashbangs and upgraded drones and jumpsuits made with the highest quality protective weave available short of actual proper blast armor. Of course, that didn't help with things like, to pull a completely random example out of thin air, sudden depressurization and the vacuum of space. Which was always a bit of a concern on a derelict like this, but became a much bigger concern when whoever Alcomaro had hired to do their dirty work started firing explosive projectiles in their direction. Oh, come on! You don't have envirosuits either, dumbass! Stop sassing them and cover me for a second, Tim said, ducking into a side alcove so he could focus on whatever he was doing in the feed. I can do both, Steph insisted, fishing another flashbang out of one of her pockets. I'm talented like that. Tim did not choose to dignify that with a response. Okay, I've got a route. Let's go. They zigzagged through the service corridors, Steph doing her best to keep both their pursuers at bay and make sure Tim didn't walk into a bulkhead while he worked on making sure all the hatchways they needed would be open. All they had to do was get close enough to the airlock to get the data packets out and then themselves. Easy. Almost there, he muttered. Somewhere behind them was a worrying crash of metal. Considering they were still breathing, it probably wasn't an outer bulkhead breach, at least. Sooner the better. These idiots are going to get us all killed if they're not more careful. This place doesn't need any help falling apart. Only years of dedicated training and cat-like reflexes saved her from eating shit as Tim stopped abruptly knocking her wildly off balance. "Oh, crap," he said, wide-eyed.
"What? Did you leave something plugged into the data console?"
It was mostly intended sarcastically, although she did surreptitiously check her own pockets to make sure she hadn't dropped one of the data cards in all the running. "What if that's why they're here?" he asked, continuing before she could do more than give him a confused look. "What if they're not just wiping data? What if they want to wipe the whole station?"
"That..."
She trailed off, horrified. She wanted to say that they couldn't do that, couldn't destroy a station with people living on it just to protect themselves. But of course they could. Something being cruel and horrific had never stopped corporations before. "We can't just leave." "Of course," Tim said absently, clearly already at work in the feed. At the clatter of approaching footsteps, Steph yanked him sideways into a hatchway out of sight. "O says there's a second group near the reactor, probably working on the demolition. This way." He darted out of cover and back down the corridor, taking a new path.
"And she just wasn't going to say anything?"
Steph asked. She ran through her pockets again, checking her inventory. Definitely not ideally equipped for a full-on shootout with corporate mercenaries, but it wasn't like this was the first time they'd be working against the odds. "She said we're supposed to be evacuating, and apparently she has someone on it already?" Tim sounded as confused by that statement as Steph felt. They were the only two who had been dispatched for this job. Who the hell else had Oracle managed to recruit way out here at the ass end of nowhere?
"Well, that's good, I guess. But I'm not just going to bug out and hope someone else takes care of it."
"Obviously. Here's the route," Tim said, throwing the marked up map into her feed. "Keep an eye out. I'll start working through what surveillance we've got. At least we won't be running in completely blind."
"Oh, well, that makes all the difference," Steph muttered as she guided them around the next corner.
The thing about service tunnels and ships and stations was that most humans did not remember they existed, which meant they were great for getting around places the humans didn't want someone to go, or places that someone might want to remain unseen. In fairness to the humans, the tunnels weren't really meant for them. They were often small and cramped, and usually the environmental controls were not great compared to the parts the humans were meant to exist in. The extreme temperature swings, odd gravity fluctuations, and occasional atmosphere drop would definitely be uncomfortable for them. Of course, she wasn't human, which meant they were perfect for her, even if she had to stress her joint attachments a little at points to squeeze past machinery and bundles of wires. The stealthy approach might have been a bit wasted, though, she realized as she got closer. Whoever these people were, they did not have any insignia she could identify or look up. She hoped nobody was paying them for subtlety, because they had wasted their money. From the video she had access to, she could see that four of them were clustered around the reactor chamber door with very loud, very bright cutting tools. Trying to get the door open, she assumed, although why they couldn't just use the door controls was beyond her. She reached into the feed and locked everything down as much as she could anyway, just in case. At least two more of the group were meandering around, maybe trying to do a perimeter patrol, but doing so badly, even for humans. She wasn't all that worried about them, but it would be nice to know for sure there weren't more lurking somewhere before she revealed herself. She was just evaluating if she could pick them off one by one while staying hidden. Conclusion, probably, at least for half of them. After that, it might be a brawl, when extra movement pinged on her visual. Someone rushing into the corridor, immediately targeting one of the patrolling targets and slamming into them with a respectable, for a human, knee-strike takedown while a second figure darted in after them and made for the group around the reactor chamber door. A hasty scan of the video feed confirmed with acceptable certainty that these were Oracle's people, the ones who were supposed to be currently evacuating the station. Honestly, she was a little annoyed at the interference. She was more than capable of taking down six-ish human targets before they could blow up anything important. She didn't need help, especially not from two additional humans she would now have to worry about getting injured. It would have been much cleaner and easier to just take care of things herself. Although, she could admit, they were more competent than most humans she had encountered. Between the two of them, they had three of the targets taken out of the fight much faster than she would have expected. Just like Oracle, though, they had missed one of the targets creeping around the outside of the fight, currently trying to sneak up on the blonde one as she dodged another target swing with the cutting torch she was wielding. She pushed herself through the last bit of the service tunnel and dropped to her belly to wriggle out of the small vent that connected this part of the corridor to it. The sound of the access hatch being punched out from the inside was, apparently, not loud enough to draw attention over the shouting and the angry sparking hiss of the cutting torch. No one paid her any attention as she pulled herself free and crept up behind the unaware target with quick, silent steps. A sharp pinch to an important nerve cluster, and he dropped to the metal floor with a loud clunk. That, at least, got the attention of Oracle's blonde friend, who spun to face her with a wide-eyed look of shock. "What the hell?" she said in a tone of voice that her sensors told her indicated high stress. "Behind you," the other one, the dark-haired boy, shouted. The blonde spun back to the fight as another target tried to take advantage of the distraction. He did not get very far. The first thing Steph noticed when she turned to see what had made the noise behind her was a body lying on the floor, instead of launching itself at her in an attack, which was a welcome surprise. The second thing she noticed was the faceless humanoid figure lurking immediately behind where the body had fallen. That was neutral at best, possibly very bad. Steph might not be the universe's greatest detective or his protege, but she could add two and two to get four well enough, and while this unknown newcomer might have saved her a few unpleasant bruises or worse, that didn't mean she could just drop her guard and assume they were a friend. Him's warning shout redirected her attention before she could ask any of the very pressing questions she had for the stranger in armor. She spun back around, raising her hands on reflex to try and deflect whatever was coming. It proved to be an unnecessary precaution. The newcomer vaulted past her, inhumanly fast, and met her would-be attacker with a series of sharp jabs that left him groaning on the floor. They barely paused to step over him before darting towards the rest of the crew, dodging flailing punches and attempted swipes with the remaining cutting torch with fluid ease. It was extremely impressive, Steph could admit, but it was also kind of freaky, considering even the best human fighters she knew couldn't move quite like that. A swipe from one of the floored attackers jolted her back into action, and she quickly set about restraining the ones who had already been taken down before jumping in to back up Tim and the newcomer. For all that didn't seem to be necessary. It didn't take long before all of the baddies were trussed up and ready to be escorted off the station, hopefully directly to some kind of prison hauler, considering they'd just been caught trying to blow up a station with people on it. The reactor chamber door was certainly looking pretty ragged, even by the rundown standards of this particular station, but no alarms were going off either for station security or, equally importantly, any kind of reactor leak, so overall a win. "So," Tim said in what Steph privately thought as his mini Bruce voice, "not that we didn't appreciate the assist, but we're going to need to ask a few questions." "Like, who are you?" Steph jumped in curiously.
"Sec unit,"
Tim sent her privately.
"Or, I think, anyway."
"What?" Steph said out loud without really meaning to. Tim gave her a sour look and she grimaced apologetically. So, sue her, not everyone was constantly plugged into the feed and hyper aware of it at all times. "Did someone send you?" Tim asked. The armored helmet tilted towards him a little, but there was a long pause before they spoke, and when they did, it was only one word. "Oracle." "Oracle hired a sec unit?" Steph asked him quietly. That seemed, well, wildly incorrect for several reasons, including where did she find one and who did she hire it from? No, the maybe sec unit said with surprising vehemence. Sent me, not hired. Tim's gaze went a little distant in the way that meant he was deep in the feed, frowning slightly as he parsed through some flood of data. He muttered quietly to himself, but nothing that helped to figure out what the hell he was looking at. Something you want to share with the rest of the class, Timothy? She asked, with a little more heat than she really intended. The augment thing was just a bit of a sore spot, and mostly she didn't care, but occasionally it was very frustrating. There was a ping while we were moving. O did send her, he said. Your name is Cass. Maybe sec unit named Cass didn't say anything, but that also meant she didn't deny it. But she didn't hire you, Tim continued, still sounding skeptical. So you're here on a job for someone else and what? Just decided to step in and help us out? No. The strangely vehement denial again. Well then, maybe you should explain to me why a random sec unit is running around this derelict station, accepting instructions from someone they just met. I'm not, apparently Cass said emphatically. Steph wasn't actually sure which part of Tim's statement she was objecting to, but regardless of what the point of contention was, she was certainly not winning her way past his paranoia. Just ask O, Steph interjected before they could argue further. Tim grimaced, frustrated. Signal's too sketchy for real-time conversation, because this place is a death trap. Look, he turned back to the sec unit. Thanks for the help here, but this is kind of a delicate operation, so... Sent me, the sec unit interrupted sharply. Not you. With the armor, there was no real facial expressions to read, but Steph was getting a distinct, deeply annoyed vibe. I mean, technically... Steph said, ignoring the way Tim glared at her. Further argument was cut off by the ear-splitting howl of the station emergency siren. Now what? Steph shouted over the sound. Neither of the other two said anything, but Tim's face was doing the faraway frown that meant something was happening in his feed, and it wasn't anything good. She was sort of getting the feeling the bomb in the reactor chamber had only been plan A, and they were about to find out what the contingency was. They put something in the system, trying to trigger cascade failure, Tim said rapidly. Sec Unit Cass said nothing, but was suddenly moving very quickly towards the door, right as it opened and something large and metallic stepped inside. Oh, now station security wakes up, Steph said as she hastily checked her pockets to rearm herself. Or, more accurately, to arm herself to fight a bot, apparently. Flashbangs and blunt trauma might be enough to take care of human interference, but a security bot warranted something slightly stronger. Like a collapsible stun baton, for example. Somewhere else in the station, there was a loud boom that could not possibly mean anything good, and more immediately some new alarm on the reactor chamber added a high-pitched whine to the deeper station-wide one. Cass did not seem to register any of it. Which, considering the security bot taking aim at her, was fair enough. Steph almost shouted a warning, but it proved unnecessary. Watching the way Cass moved was as impressive as it was unsettling. Obviously, Steph understood that sec units were not human, but they were still human-shaped, mostly, and seeing someone human-shaped move faster than anyone she had ever seen was, well, frankly, a little terrifying. She was really glad this one seemed to be on their side. The first strike landed nowhere near Cass as she strafed sideways and darted in close to the bot. One arm shot out and did something Steph couldn't quite follow, but it made the bot stagger slightly as it swung to track Cass. Steph decided to let Tim deal with whatever catastrophe was happening in the feed and instead focus on not letting them all get flattened, taking advantage of the opening as the bot turned away to dash toward it. Two more strikes missed as Cass twisted neatly aside, but a third clipped her. Something on the bot making contact with a loud electric crack. She didn't make any noise herself, no shout of pain or surprise, but the way one arm was now hanging loose at her side meant something had gotten damaged. It didn't seem to slow her down much as she darted around the next strike, though. Steph didn't have a lot of experience with fighting security bots, and she didn't have the augments for on-the-fly data pulls on different models and their potential weak points. But she was betting a nice big jolt of electricity in a joint connection would at least slow it down a little. She jammed her baton into the least armored spot she could see and hit the trigger. Unfortunately, it did not do anything as dramatic and helpful as dropping and deactivating the bot. Mostly, it just drew its attention to her instead, and it swung one arm around to aim at her with whatever it had hit Cass with. Steph was guessing that was going to hurt her squishy human self a lot more than just giving her one incapacitated limb. She tensed to try and dodge, but before she could move, there was a screech of metal, and the whole bot tipped sideways with a crunching thud, rolling slightly to reveal both the gaping hole full of sparking wires in its back and Cass standing behind it, one arm still outstretched where she had presumably caused said hole. "Wow," Steph said, blowing out a breath. Cass said nothing. She just tilted her head slightly, an oddly human gesture that reminded Steph of how Tim looked when he got deep into the feed on something. Then Cass turned and took off out of the reactor room and down the hall. "Hey, wait," Steph shouted. She glanced quickly back at Tim, who was focused intently on the controls for the reactor chamber. "I got this," he said in the short tone that usually meant he did not have nearly the control of the situation that he would have liked. "Main security room." Steph hesitated, but only for half a second. Realistically, she wasn't that much help purging malicious codes from a system, aside from guarding the door, and a solid lockdown command could do the same thing there, or better. Fighting human opponents, though, she could definitely help with. "Lock the door," she yelled over her shoulder as she took off after Cass. She didn't quite catch Tim's response, but she was assuming it was something sarcastic and unhelpful, so no big loss. The unreliable feed had officially gone from a mild annoyance to an actual problem. She was aware of whatever was eating through the station systems, but there were too many gaps and drops to effectively cut it off completely without accessing it at the source. That source, of course, had several more human targets standing around keeping an eye on things, so that was another thing to deal with. At least she was pretty sure whatever code they had injected was only code. It didn't have the feeling of something being guided by a human, augmented or otherwise, and certainly not the feeling of something aware. They must have figured a station that was already falling apart didn't need that kind of money or effort. If she hadn't decided to investigate that weird SOS, they might have been right. Half her attention was on moving, tracking rapidly through station floor plans as she found the quickest way to the security room. The other half focused on throwing up whatever firewalls and blocks she could to stop the code trying to shut down every system it could get at. They were only temporary solutions, and she could see the code starting to chip away at them the second she finished, but it might buy a few minutes. And she could do a lot with a few minutes. Closer to the main security room, she could feel the feed getting stronger again, which meant things were easier for her to access, but the same was true of the code. A ping from Oracle came through as she reconnected to the wider feed, but she swiped it away. She knew what the problem was and where it was. She just had to get there. Easier said than done, now that station security had woken up, of course. She shut down as much of it as she could while running, but she couldn't afford to stop and put her full attention into it. Most of it she could just avoid, relying on being smarter than pre-programmed bots who struggled to think creatively, but that luck ran out a couple of junctions away from the main security room, where another activated security bot blocked the corridor. The ideal solution would probably be to try and force it to stand down, or obscure its sensors so that it just didn't see her, or any number of clever things she could technically probably do. But those took time, and the longer she waited, the closer they got to the whole station crashing in a way that killed everyone on board. So instead, she just charged at it. Security bots were tough and fast, but she was faster. Unfortunately, the small size of the corridor meant she didn't have a lot of room to maneuver, which negated that a bit. She opted for trying the up-and-around approach, launching herself at one wall and knocking off of it to try and squeeze past. She did manage to clear the gap, but the bot swiveled before she could regain her footing and snatched her out of the air with one arm, slamming her into the wall. Her head hit with a resounding crack as part of her armor's faceplate shattered, but none of the pieces managed to hit her in the eyes, so she couldn't stop to deal with it. Shaking broken bits of faceplate away, she activated one of her arm guns, aiming for the joint of the arm, currently trying very hard to crush her. Her armor would only hold up for so long against that kind of strength. A flurry of shots melted through enough important bits to let her brace her feet against the bot's body and pull back, hard, ripping the rest of the arm away and dropping both it and her to the floor. It was still locked around her, but without the bot attached, she could peel it away and free herself. It did take a few long seconds, though, with a very much still active and angry security bot looming over her. Before it got a chance to react further, there was a very human-sounding shout and a large crackle of electricity. The bot shifted and turned to face its new attacker. Apparently, the blonde girl had followed her and decided to go for a second round of facing off against an armed and armored security bot with what looked like a stun baton. She had also made the very human mistake of aiming for what registered as the bot's head, which wasn't actually where its main processor or energy core were kept. Not nearly as effective as it would be on a human. It should momentarily scramble some of its sensors, though, and a moment was enough. With one last burst of strength, she managed to pry the detached arm free and open fire into the bot's abdomen, frying enough important components to render it useless for the moment, if not fully down. Probably the station security people would not appreciate having their very expensive bots destroyed, but she figured they would even less appreciate being exploded or launched into space. "Go away," she told the blonde girl, and immediately turned to continue her route. "I can help," the blonde girl called after her. From her footsteps, she was doing the opposite of going away. "Don't need it," she snapped back, but she didn't have time to stop and argue. The mess with the bot had made enough noise that the targets in the main security room were definitely waiting for her, and only her superhuman reflexes stopped her from taking a shot straight to her half-armored face as she burst through the doorway. That target lost his gun to a quick wrist-shattering strike right afterwards, so that was one threat removed. A loud crackle and a yelp to her right signaled that the blonde girl had caught up and used her stun baton to good effect to floor one of the other remaining targets. "You fix the station. I can handle them," she insisted, already launching herself at the next nearest target. Her baton hit him in the face, snapping his head back with a spurt of blood from his nose. She could admit it would be a lot easier to fix whatever was wrong with the code if she wasn't trying to fight a bunch of sloppy humans at the same time. Still, she kept part of her focus on the fight, not willing to trust that this girl would manage to defend her if she let herself get fully distracted, even if she seemed to be holding her own better than she would have thought. The rest of her attention, she sank deep into the feed, chasing down the malicious code before it could get them all killed. It turned out fighting a room full of bad guys was still easier than fighting a room full of bad guys while protecting someone from all of them. Which made sense, obviously. But it was a hell of a workout. By the time all of them were in some state of incapacitated, or at least not willing to keep fighting, Steph was breathing hard and feeling some of the stray hits that had tagged her. She was going to have a hell of a bruise on her face later, plus some very unhappy ribs and a plasma burn on her arm. She held her baton in a white-knuckled grip and planted herself in front of Cass. With her limited feed access, she had no real way to tell how things were going. There were still an awful lot of alarms going off, and none of her pings to Tim or Oracle had managed to get through, or their responses hadn't come back, or they couldn't answer for some reason, but she wasn't thinking about that last possibility too hard. They were fine. It was just tech failure. She was so focused on watching the bad guys to make sure no one decided to pull out a hidden pistol, or a grenade, or something, that she almost jumped out of her skin when Cass suddenly said, "Done." The silence as all of the alarms abruptly stopped left her ears ringing a bit, but she breathed out a huge sigh of relief. No alarms was good. Unless Cass had just turned those off and not actually fixed what was causing them, but she was assuming that wasn't the case. "So we're not going to explode? Or implode? Or crash into a moon or something?" "No," Cass said bluntly. Steph maybe would have appreciated a little more elaboration on what exactly their current situation was, but it didn't seem like she was going to be getting that.
Great, she said. Glad we're not about to die. Good teamwork, right? She offered with a big smile.
Cass's face was partially visible through her broken mask, revealing one dark, very intense eye watching Steph with an unreadable expression.
Situation secure,
a ping from Tim said, startling Steph again.
On my way to you.
She wasn't quite sure with how much of the faceplate was still intact, but she thought that maybe Cass looked amused just for a second.
I've cobbled together some extra relays,
Oracle interjected to all three of them, Cass included.
Start downloading your packet. Only partial, and we'll need the rest of the data you pulled, but enough for the boss to get things moving on Alcomaro.
Steph blew out of breath and let her shoulders drop a bit, and then immediately tensed and checked her pockets again. The data chips were all still safely secured, ready to be handed over once they managed to get off this wreck of a station.
Going to be an awful lot of stuff to fix,
she pointed out. She might not be able to parse the feed as fast as others, but she knew a bad damage report when she saw one. All the bright red entries were a pretty good giveaway.
Working on getting that moving too,
Oracle said.
But it's not going to fall out of the sky anytime soon, so good work, everyone.
Cass had been silent and unmoving during the whole conversation, barely a presence in the feed despite being specifically added to the conversation. So, Steph said out loud, trying not to jump when that intense stare snapped back to her. What's next for you, then? From what she could see, Cass looked briefly lost, almost. I mean, you said no one hired you for this, right? Steph pressed. Not even Oracle. Cass nodded slightly. So you're, what, a rogue sec unit? Steph wasn't actually sure that was a real thing outside of media, but Cass nodded again, more slowly this time, almost hesitant. So apparently it was. And you just turned up and decided to help? I mean, you did just basically save everyone who lives on this station, plus me and him, just because Oracle asked.
I had a hunch,
Oracle said.
And it paid off. I know you weren't actually hired, but you did good work. If you'd like to do more of it, we could probably make that happen,
she added to Cass. The part of Cass's face that Steph could see looked outright shocked at that, eyes wide and glancing quickly to Steph. I mean, yeah, Steph agreed with a grin. You kicked ass, and that's basically what we do. Kick ass for the greater good. She gave Cass two thumbs up.
We're going to need to do some background checks,
Tim said, entirely unnecessarily, in Steph's opinion. Between Oracle and Bruce, they would know everything there was to know about who Cass was and where she had come from in the next 24 hours. If this turned out to be some kind of complicated operation, where some enemy of theirs had created or hired a sec unit to infiltrate their organization and take them all down from the inside, she trusted that someone would figure that out before it was too late. She had a good feeling, though, and she'd always been more of a go-with-your-gut sort of girl. So, she prompted when Cass did not immediately respond. You up to do some more good, Cass? The use of the name seemed to startle her again. She stared at Steph again for a long moment, looking for what she didn't know, before the part of her face that Steph could see flickered into a little smile and she nodded. Yes, Cass said emphatically. I am. The end. Author's notes. It didn't really come up within the fic, but I imagine that in a parallel to canon, Cass was a custom sec unit project David Kane was working on before she hacked her governor module and bailed on him to try and do some good instead. So she's a bit off-model and unique compared to the mass-produced sec units. Hot Figures note. This fic was originally written for the Batfam Big Bang, and the art on it is so incredible, so if you have, like, downloaded this file and are listening to it, I'm gonna need you to go back to the original fic, which is linked in mine, yada yada yada, and see the art, because it is chef's kiss. Okay, the end for real this time. Thanks, bye!